Good morning and welcome. I'm Katharina Vitti.
And I'm Barbara Campbell.
And this is Listen Up! Jesus is on the air. This is going to be such a great show today. I'm so excited. We have Barbara, of course, Father Peter, and Bernadette, which is Barbara's friend.
And our topic is resurrection power, because we're in that very rich liturgical season of the church, the Easter season. And I just want to remind everyone, Easter's not over. You know, it's great how the church just has like a whole season for us, because Easter would be much too big to celebrate in one day. So we have like a whole season now, and we're leading towards, of course, Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit is right on the cusp of downloading everything great and good for us.
So would you say the Holy Spirit is preparing us for Pentecost?
Yes,
during this time?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He's going ahead of us and coming behind us and on the side of us. But I'm very excited about Bernadette, because she has been a spiritual warrior. She has been a sister in Christ. She's been somebody who has chased after the Lord. She's a God chaser from way back.
And you got to tell her about the way back. They got to tell them.
Oh, we
got to
hear about the way back. Yeah, let's hear about the way back.
Way back.
Tell them a little of your journey, Bernadette.
Well, I guess it started in 1970, and I was searching for the Holy Spirit, because I heard about people that experienced the Holy Spirit. So I was, you know, reading about it and everything, and but not experiencing the Holy Spirit, you know. And then I was in my kitchen, and I was sort of fed up with trying to know the Holy Spirit. And I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I said, you know, I think I know the Father. I think I know the Son. I really don't care if I know the Holy Spirit. And as I said that, all of a sudden a light went off, and the Holy Spirit revealed to me my whole life. And how the Holy Spirit was in it at very specific times.
Now, wait a minute. A light went off. What do you mean? What's that like?
It's an enlightenment. You're enlightened by God. You're enlightened.
At that moment, you were enlightened.
I was enlightened. Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So and you had like
and
a
I
vision?
Had I no, I didn't have a vision. I just had a knowledge. A knowledge, like the knowledge of the Holy Spirit gives you.
Like
you know?
A knowing.
A knowing. And you showed me from the time I was two. You know, and with playing in the dirt. And he said, and remember how great you felt? I said, yeah. And I remember that. I was only two. And he said, and that was me. This was the Holy Spirit with me.
So wait a minute. So you're playing in the dirt, and you're experiencing God.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what he showed me. I didn't know it at the time, you know, but mm-hmm. but this is what he showed me in my kitchen. And then he showed me some other instances in my life where it was the Holy Spirit, you know,
and the Holy Spirit showed up.
Showed up. He was there with me, you know, when I had my daughter Meg. I remember experiencing him, because he gave me this joy as a mother, and I was so joyful at just doing the simple things of life, you know, taking care of my family, taking care of this little baby, and you could have said, "Here's $1 million," you know. Go around the world, and I would have said no, because I am so happy here. I am so happy. And the Lord gave me this joy in living my vocation.
But yet when you got to this other point, you were like, I don't need the Holy Spirit?
Oh, yeah, 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 I did. Because I felt that, you know, like I've known him all my life. I don't have to
what else
be like these other people who are more dramatic with the Holy Spirit.
You were beginning to hear about charismatic renewal.
And yeah, and I didn't want to be like that. I just wanted to be my old self, mm-hmm. you know. And then God led me. He really led me to go up in my bedroom, and he showed me. He touched me, and I knew that, you know, I experienced him again. And he gave me a good friend, a very good girlfriend
up
the street.
What would you call what happened to you?
I would call it being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, I see that.
And how would you describe that
but
to our listeners?
But you weren't even prayed over yet, right?
No, I wasn't prayed over. But I felt like, you know, I was going to give all my books back on the Holy Spirit. I was giving everything back, because I was going back to being my old self. And I was reading this book by Robert Frost about a glow with the Spirit. And as I said, oh, well, I'm going to give it back, so let me just read here. And it was really a part about opening to the gift of tongues. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, well, being I'm giving it back, I'll just do what it says. And I started to do what it says, and all of a sudden out came the gift of tongues.
Uh-huh.
And so that changed my whole life. My whole life got changed with that. Because I used to say, God, you ruined my life, because now my life is, I have been touched in this way. But it was a glorious experience, glorious. You know, I would look outside and everything looked new. Mm-hmm. Everything looked beautiful. It was very, very wonderful.
There's no going back again once that you experience that, right?
No, because you're changed.
Right.
You're changed, and going with Him is the best. Going with the Lord is the very, very best. He showed me that I was like in a boat, a little rowboat, and I had 1 foot in the boat and 1 foot on land. And I was trying to keep it that way, so I didn't want to go out. You know, I didn't want to let go of part of the way I wanted my life to be.
Right, right.
And he said, you have to choose one or the other.
Yes. So did you find out that the Holy Spirit actually is a renewing, constant renewing source of grace and excitement and adventure and surprises that you probably never even realized when you said, I don't really have to worry about the Holy Spirit, I know about Him? Did you find that once you really, really, really got that, you know, slam dunk in the Holy Spirit, that you start to experience things that you couldn't even imagine He would do?
Yes, that's true. That is really true. And He did, and He has never stopped doing this, you know, and now it's, what, 2017?
Right.
And He never stops, because He's full of, God is unending in His generosity.
Promotion, 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 and there's no end to it, right?
No end to it,
right.
You know.
So Bernadette has some great stories, a couple of stories that she's going to talk about, but our main theme today is, of course, resurrection power, because of this being the Easter season. And, you know, I don't think we really understand how the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in our DNA. That's part of who we are now. We have the power to access that resurrection power and walk in it, and that's what's called the life in the Spirit, when we are walking in that resurrection power. And I really believe that if we understood that the way it really, really is described in Scripture, if we really got that, we would be so on fire and so excited and so unbelievably filled with joy. Maybe not happiness. Everything in life doesn't make us happy, but we would be filled with joy. And Father Peter, I had asked him to say a couple of things about a couple of scriptures that kind of will set the tone for some of the things we're talking about today in the resurrection power.
Sure. Well, you know, all you have to do is open up really the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And of course, if you're getting to Mass during these days in Easter, you're getting a reading from the Acts of the Apostles just about every day. So you're experiencing the record, the narrative of resurrection power. But look, here's the first one. While meeting with Jesus, this is the risen Jesus, He enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. The promise is the Holy Spirit. Remember all those references in John and so forth. Okay? For John baptized with water, that's the Baptist, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's the first description of Pentecost, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, where does the word power come in? Well, you want to pin yourself down in the text before you launch off into the theology, or before you launch off into the experiences, you know, ground yourself in the text, okay? When they had gathered together, they asked Him, Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? So you see, as very good Jewish folks, they didn't see a distinction between following Jesus and being, you know, good Jews at that time. There was no even thought at that time that there would be, you know, anything else. And of course, you know, what are they saying? That, you know, are you now going to take up the role of the Messiah as we understand Him, you know, and put out the foreign invaders or the foreign enemies and purify the kingdom, purify the temple, you know, restore the, you know, the glories of our religion and our country and all of that. And so Jesus says how He has to answer them. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so there's the word power. okay, the power of the risen Christ. He's risen. He's about to ascend. He's about to ascend to heaven. What is he talking about? Don't worry about, you know, military aspects that you might think the Messiah would. Don't worry about the political aspects, okay? Wait for that power from on high. And Bernadette's been talking a little bit about that, and Barbara's been talking about a little bit about that too.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, I was just, I also have a little story here to mention that ties in well with Bernadette's story, but we can mention that a little bit, I guess, later. But that's great. That's one of the times in Scripture where it's referenced that the Holy Spirit is power. And I think that we sometimes, as Catholics, as Christians, we don't understand how to access that resurrection power. So maybe today we can get some tips and how, you know, how can the Lord come to us?
That's a great idea. Yeah. And I was actually hoping to talk a little about Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, which kind of mm-hmm. outlines that for us. And Father Peter, also that great scripture where Peter says, after the resurrection, I don't have gold or silver. And can you just talk about that a little
bit?
Well,
that's the paralyzed that, of course. That's a beautiful one, because it gives you, you know, a line that you can hang your hat on. It's always nice to have a line in Scripture you can hang your hat on, because what I mean by that is you can go back to it and use it and be revitalized.
Yeah, I don't think
when
I
he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, this is the paralyzed, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and he said, "Look at us." Isn't it interesting how he's trying to establish that eye contact and that personal conveyance of the power? The power from Christ is in Peter. The power from Peter is going to go into the parallel. Look at us, he says. Isn't that interesting? He says, you know, don't just be casual. You look at the screen, everything else out. Look at us.
So okay? This is like a guy, like a homeless man, perhaps? Or
well, yes, there he is. He's a man crippled from birth, mm-hmm. Was carried to the place at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate to beg for alms. So at least he had a few friends that took him to a good spot for begging. Okay, for a good mm-hmm. spot to begging. By the way, Pope Francis has tried to tell the pilgrims to give to the beggars. Okay, so I'm thinking about, you know, if I get back to Rome again, we'll be deluged with beggars, because the beggars will remember what the Pope said and be chastising the pilgrims if they're not receiving something. You see what I mean? So, but let's move forward, okay? Look at us. He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." Then Peter took the man by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet, his ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking, jumping, and praising God. Okay, so you see there's a beautiful story. Gold and silver I have none. All right, so in other words, you know, Peter's there, as poor as a church mouse can be, not worried about, you know, carrying a lot of change in his pocket. He has nothing to give to the beggar along those lines, but he has something so much more valuable. You know, the power of the risen Christ, and the guy's going to be walking and jumping and leaping and not only getting around but zooming around. So there's something to be said for resurrection power. Maybe we can talk about that from other angles too.
Amen. I liked how it also emphasizes that God's love and the Holy Spirit is greater than gold, because now he was filled with God's love. He was praising God. He didn't forget what God had done for him.
That's right.
And I think
this is going to come up. You're going to see this is going to come up, because Peter's going to be challenged by the authorities and so forth. And, you know, the man is going to witness, you know, to what happened and so forth. You'll see how that all tumbles out.
As a counselor, I kind of really like the part there where the guy jumps up and is all excited about being healed, because I find that so often our infirmities and the things that we say we want to be healed of actually give us a payoff. We actually get a payoff from staying stuck in them. And a lot of times maybe we'd rather have the gold or silver than the actual healing. And that's one of the most exasperating parts, I guess, of you know, healing and counseling and working with ourselves and with other people, because, you know, you really need to say, do I want this? Do I really want the healing, or do I want something else from this? What is the gold and silver? The gold and silver could just be the fact that I get a lot of attention. through what's going on in my life right now. So I love that he jumped up and he totally embraced it and he danced around and he was excited. As opposed to the guy at the pool, where you almost get the sense that, you know, his big excuse was that for how many years, 30 years or something?
Nobody drums.
Nobody made room for him to get in the pool. And Jesus says, okay, so just get up and walk. And I imagine that was kind of hard. Because, you know, he was getting quite a bit of...
Well, you have to be ready to have your mindset reworked by the Lord because, you know, here are these, you know, the apostles are good Jewish folk of their time awaiting the Messiah who's going to set everything straight. You know, in other words, it's like getting your political and your military team in there. You know what I mean? That somebody else has been running it. Now the Lord's going to be running it through our Messiah. But Jesus says, wait a minute, you know, don't think politically, don't think militarily, think the power of the Holy Spirit. A different kind of power, but real power too.
So Bernadette, first of all, I have to say that everything I know I learned from Bernadette. You know, everything you know you learned in kindergarten? So everything I know I learned from Bernadette. And she mentored me through many, many years of my life in the Spirit.
Well, she's like a Daniel Boone, isn't she? She was out there in the wilderness, in the wilderness of the Holy Spirit before anybody else, right? She was out there.
She's a pioneer in the Spirit, and she's got wisdom beyond wisdom. The Lord has just graced you so much, Bernadette. Your life has just been such a witness of God's love, of your love for the Lord, of challenges and my God, I don't even know how you'll pick a story to tell us because you have so many stories. You have so many stories.
Can I just mention, for our listeners, if you want to text in or call in, I forgot to mention, our text-in number is 516-784-6081, and you could call in. Our call-in number is 631-888-8811. If you want to share anything or ask anything, just feel free. And you can remain anonymous as well in the text. So, all right.
So, Bernadette, can you get a story for us here?
Okay, I have a story.
Resurrection power.
Resurrection about how good God is to his children. And this was when I was expecting my fifth child. And I was 6 months pregnant. And I was having trouble with like hemorrhaging, and I had placenta previa, and my doctor, who I knew loved me, I knew this man really loved me, but he wasn't happy about me having my fifth section. He was not happy about that. And anyway, he would come in, he would sit on the side of my bed, and he would say, Bernadette, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know how I can let you go home, because you can bleed to death in 3 minutes, and I can lose you and the baby. And so he would tell me that, and I knew that medically, you know, he was correct medically, but I was getting something else inside, and it was this knowledge that I was going to be fine, and so was my baby. And then I was filled with this incredible peace, this beautiful peace. I was flooded with it. And it was so great, this peace, that when the nurses would come in, I would be reading a book, and they would say, what are you reading? And I would say, oh, I'm just reading this book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. But it was because I was filled with this joy and peace. And every day, this doctor sat on my bed for 10 days and told me, I could bleed to death in 3 minutes. But God is far greater. He was flooding me with this grace. And, you know, after 10 days, he finally let me go home. And I took it easy. I didn't do a lot of things. I had, four other children at home. But I just took it really easy. And I went to the end of the pregnancy. And I had my daughter, Barbara. And this doctor was, like, just so amazed. When I would go in, before Barbara was born, I would go into his office, and it would be his staff would whisper. They were like afraid to even talk in a normal tone. Mrs. Brandon, you know.
Mrs.
Brandon. And is here, you know. And so this would happen with my doctor. And And I went to the end of the pregnancy and had Barbara. And that grace never left me. It never left me. I think it's still probably there. You know what I mean? I don't even know if God removes it. I think he just...
He builds on it.
Yeah, he builds on that.
So you're sitting there. The doctor's sitting on the edge of the bed. He's telling you that within 3 minutes you could bleed to death.
Yes.
And you have peace.
I had incredible peace. Incredible peace. And I couldn't share it with him because I knew he would kill me. I mean, if I started talking and telling him what I was experiencing, he could not handle it. So I couldn't tell him. But I know the truth of what was happening to me because it was so beautiful. It was very beautiful. And you can't imagine, make this up, you know, you can't. Mm-hmm. Not when someone's telling you have 3 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know.
The peace, though, is that's so the Lord's peace because he says that his peace comes in the midst of the battle. You know, I always like to point that out. The Lord's peace, he says, I give you peace, I give you, not as the world gives peace, but I give you peace that's unbelievable. Like, in the middle of the battle, it's not like before the battle starts, it's not after the battle's over. It's right in the middle. That's why it's so crazy. The world can't give us that kind of peace.
No.
Right?
No.
It was right, red hot, in the middle of the whole affair. I just love that. I love that story. And I think stories are so important because that's how we witness to one another. You know, people out there, you know, it's no accident that you guys are tuning in today. Who's ever out there, God's got his hand on you, and you need to hear these stories. We need to hear from one another.
And Bernadette's got stories. That's why she's here on the station today. So
give us another one.
We want to honor. We want to honor. We want to honor Bernadette for her longevity and perseverance with the Lord.
Yes.
From the earliest days, she's a pioneer in the earliest days of charismatic renewal. But more than that, and an adventurer in the Holy Spirit. That's really what she is.
And you've told your stories. I've seen you stand for hours at the church door after masses talking to people. And every time I see you, you're telling someone a story. And someday, when you're home with the Lord, you're going to see all the people that you have affected and impacted and how their lives actually changed. I still hear your voice in my head. I still hear your voice in my head. Things that you help me,
that's beautiful.
You know, make decisions about and turn around about. And I mean, I don't think you totally underestimate what's going on here. But anyway, give us another story, Bernadette.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what story to give you now. You know, I mean, there are so many. I think about this girl that was in the next bed when I went in to have my daughter. And I walked in, and this girl is in the next bed, and she's pregnant, and she has asthma. And I'm asthmatic, and I've had a lot of asthma through my life. And so I'm very sympathetic to this girl. And and this girl is, like, very hyper because the medicine they give you for asthma makes you hyper. And my twin said, oh, boy, Bernadette, you know, I think you have a winner here. And I said, I do. I have the most perfect person on earth in this bed. I knew it. And this girl, she was suffering so much from asthma. And she was about 4 months pregnant. And I think the abortion had just been passed in January. And this was like February or March. And she said, you know, everybody wants me to, you know, abort this baby. And so I said, well, what do you want? How do you feel about this? She said, well, I would like to have the baby. I said, well, then you know what? You're going to have this baby because I'm going to get all my friends to pray for you. And you're going to have your baby. And so I do have a lot of friends that pray. And my friend Kathy came to the hospital, and she gave this girl a green scapula. And the girl was not Catholic, but she took it. And the next morning, and I woke up, she said, Bernadette, you know, I thought I was going to die last night from the asthma. And, like, I know that feeling. And she said, and I held on to that green thing, and I did not die. And I said, and you're not going to die. Not yet, Debbie.
Not yet.
I said, you're going to get better. You're going to get better. And she got better. And she left the hospital. And then the next thing I knew, she's back in the hospital. And she wanted to be with me. She missed me. So, But they didn't put us in the same room. So, she, you know, she had asthma again. So I went go to her room to visit her. And she has all the IVs and everything. And I loved her. I loved her. So I was holding her hand. And I said, you know, Lord, she's my friend and I love her. And I would like you to heal her and make her better. And I felt this like vroom, this love. I felt this love come into me. And I said, and the Lord said, it's love that heals, Bernadette. It's love that heals. And I said, well, then heal her because I love her. Heal her. And he healed her. And she got better. And she used to call me all during the pregnancy. Never went back to the hospital. Mm. And had her son in July.
Wow.
You know, and how God has his divine setups.
Very beautiful.
It was a divine setup.
It was a setup, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I always like to say to people, it's a setback, then a setup, and then a comeback. That's kind of how he does it, right? He sets us back. Well, he doesn't, but he allows it to happen in order to set us up, in order to come back stronger.
Yeah.
But Bernadette, I really would love for you to tell the story about Grace.
About sweet little baby Grace, yes. My little granddaughter. Grace, she would be 15 now, but my daughter, Christine, was pregnant. I guess she was about 4.5 months pregnant, and she was having a sonogram done in a hospital. And at first they were saying, oh, what a cute baby. What a cute baby this is. And then the woman said, oh, well, just a minute. Excuse me, just a minute. She leaves and comes back with four other people and tells my daughter and my son-in-law that the baby... it's a trisomy 18 baby.
Now and what is that?
It's a baby that has every cell in the body is off.
Wow.
And that the prognosis is that the baby, well, you might not carry it full term, or if you do, the baby is going to live an hour, a very short time,
very short
this
time.
Baby. And so Christine, and they wanted her to terminate right then and there, to terminate the pregnancy. So Christine... She told me she had her rosary. And she said to her husband, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And they got out, and they came to my house. And so Christine said, like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do it? I said, well, I said, this is the place where you meet God. This is where you meet God when you come up against this. Huh? That must be Christine calling
call.
Me. I said, you know, you gave a great yes to God in that hospital. And I said, and you can't outdo God in generosity. You can't. I said, God is going to, you're going to get to know God now. And so I was amazed to watch my daughter and all the things that transpired in her pregnancy, friends that came to her, helped her. It wasn't just me, you know, I saw other people helping her. And I saw, and she was in school, and she didn't hide the fact that she was having this trisomy baby.
Right.
And, you know, some people would say, well, why are you choosing to suffer? You know, like, you know, why don't you end it? Why are you choosing this? And she said, but it's my baby. This is my baby. And she went to the end of the pregnancy. We're having this baby, and we were all, this baby touched everybody's heart. She was only supposed to live like, Christine was, every time she looked at it, she thought she was going to die. But I had this thing inside where I said, she's not going to die, not yet. This baby's not going to die.
What did they prognose originally, like an hour, 2 hours?
Yeah.
That she would live an hour.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And the priest was there and, you know, and baptized her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the whole family was allowed in the recovery room, all of my children and, you know, everybody, the whole gang was allowed in the hospital. Christine went through the most marvelous, I saw she went through therapy, her children went through therapy, the family had therapy, which enabled them to...
Okay, we got a call in. Did you want to just finish up that last...
Yeah, finish that sentence.
That sentence.
What was the sentence?
She went through therapy.
She went through therapy, and everything helped her, you know, to cope with it and to go through it. And it was such a blessing. This little baby was a blessing. a beautiful blessing, and blessed everyone. We would all hold her. We would hold this little baby, and she was little, you know. And we would just the people would say, "Well, I'm holding a little angel here." I would say, "Uh-uh, not an angel. You're holding a saint here." She was baptized and confirmed.
Confirmed, that's wow. Right, that's true.
And she was a little saint, you know, yeah. And she was brought blessing upon blessing to the family.
Great, so let's take the call in.
Yeah.
And let's see. Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, is this Christina?
Christine.
Oh, Christine. Hi, welcome. What would you like to say today?
Oh, well, am I on the air?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, you are.
Hi, Mom. It's Christine.
It's my daughter.
That's your daughter. Hi.
So I'm listening to you tell the story.
You could hear better.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can. I can hear you. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll shut the thing off. Okay. I just wanted to say I'm listening to you, Mom. It's hysterical, and you're telling, like, you know, all the stories. But I just wanted to tell the audience that if it wasn't for you, I don't know if I would have been able to go through what I did with Grace. Because I remember I couldn't get off the couch. I couldn't, I couldn't think about what I was going to do next. And you just told me, you know, just do what's next. Do what's in the next minute. And I'm like, I think I have to brush my teeth. And that was, like, good advice, because when you do that, you're just in the moment. And that's how, you know, that's how we did it. And I don't know, am I?
Like the next best step. Take the next best step.
Take the next best step. And then here we are all these years later, and all good things came out of it. But I'm just very proud of you, and I wanted to just call in and say I'm listening.
Aww. Oh,
thank you, Christine.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Love you.
You're a great inspiration to everyone, too, believe me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wouldn't have happened without my mother.
It wouldn't have happened without the Lord, helping
yeah,
us all.
That's true. But thanks so much, and I'm looking forward to the next story.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
So Bernadette,
bye, Chris.
How long did Grace stay with us?
She was with us for 2 months. Which was a long time. I mean, you know, and she was just a precious little baby. And, like, Christine and I would, you know, because she suffered. She did suffer. And I would say, let's give her a warm bath, you know, just give a nice warm bath. And then we would massage her, you know, her little body, massage her and get her warm to make her feel better. And this little one, everyone came, all Christine's friends, they came, and they couldn't do enough for Christine. They couldn't. They, you know, they cleaned her whole house like Christine never saw before. They brought her food. You know, everybody really shared tremendous support. And the big gift was that you could hold her. You could hold her, and it was the most beautiful experience to hold this little one. You know, and God let her live for 2 months, and then it was time for her to go home to God.
Wow, if that's not resurrection power, wow, that is outrageous.
It really was.
Very beautiful story.
And it's in the moment, you know. God is with us in the moment, you know, and he's always with us, always there to sustain us and give us hope and everything that we need.
I love also, I just was thinking about... You have to tell this time when you said to the Lord's mother, Mary, I can't talk to him anymore. I got to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I was mad at I was mad at the Lord. I was mad because my son had been in a car accident, had a traumatic brain injury. And I knew God could heal him in a blink of an eye. No problem. And I wanted my son healed 100% now, in my way. And I knew he had the power to do it, and he was not doing it. So I had a priest friend that I went to see, and he knew me very well. And I told him I was mad at God, you know, Because he wouldn't. He said, "Of course you are, Bernadette. You know, you suffer so much. Of course you're. Of course you're angry." So I said,
"He was an Irishman.
He was an Irish, and a good Irishman priest, wonderful." So I was at war with God. You know, I really was at war with Him because He wouldn't obey me. He wouldn't do what I wanted, and I felt like, you know, having hand-to-hand combat with Him. But He didn't play fair. He wouldn't let me get my hands on Him. So this priest ran and got the holy oils for me, got the oils, brought them in, and said, and anointed me, because I was very sick with asthma. So I went there to get anointed. And then afterwards he said, "Now, Bernadette, would you please pray for me?" So I said, "You know, I don't think you listened to me when I talk, because I did tell you I'm not speaking to Him." I said, "The crazy thing is, I need Him. I need this God, but I'm just not speaking to Him. But I am speaking to His mother." He said, "Good, good. Talk to her, Bernadette, for me, you know." And I prayed to Mary for Him. And then when I left, I was walking to the car, and I was crying. And I said, "You know, Mary, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I hate your son. I'm really sorry, you know. But I can't help it. This is my son, you know. This is your son, but this is my son." And I get in the car, turn on the car, and this song comes on. "Welcome to my world. My arms are open wide," you know. Wow. And His reaction to my anger was to woo me back.
Wow.
And He did. He wooed me back and healed me. He healed me.
The Lord is so beyond our craziness and our nonsense and even our silliness at times, right? He's just, and, you know, just for our listeners in other Christian streams, I just want to point out when Bernadette says she's prayed to Mary, she's actually asking Mary to pray for her. That's really what you're doing.
Yes,
asking her
definitely.
To intercede. For us.
Yeah.
I like that story because it's funny. You went there to be healed, so it's kind of like within that session, God was, you're mad at God, and you want to get your hands on Him, but He's like, "No, I'm gonna," through the oils, He blessed you. So it's just that I thought that was funny how, you know, we're mad, but God still loves us, even though
we're
mad at Him.
and He understands it. He understands, you know, why we're angry. And He healed me. And only God could have healed me. And God healed me and restored me. My son was away for 3 years in rehab. And in that course of those 3 years, He gave me a priest to, you know, take me under his wing. And this priest watched me go in tremendous inner healing. And it was 3 years. 3 years, and before my son came home, God had restored me, absolutely restored me. But I went through all the processes of grief, all the stages of grief. You know, God let me go through it, but what He did was He enabled me to be my true self, the real Bernadette, the deep Bernadette, and He allowed me to do that, and He allowed me to be able to take care of my son for 13 years.
Wow, I'm getting all kinds of texts here about people love these stories.
Really? Okay,
they're being very touched. And I wanted to just go back to what you just said about the 13 years. One of the things that Bernadette taught me and many others, I'm sure, is how to listen to the Lord. And that the Lord, you know, He doesn't always sound like you'd expect Him to sound. Like a lot of times He says things that other people don't agree with, and the world certainly doesn't agree with, and it seems like, could this be God? And I just would like you to share that one piece about when the Lord told you that you needed to not visit John anymore. Now, John was in, at that point, in a rehab kind of place, you know, he suffered quite a bit from this brain injury. I mean, he was in very bad shape, very serious, dangerous, I think you'd say, shape. And the Lord told you that you couldn't visit Him at that point, that it was better not to. And I'm kind of just coming off of my own dear husband's journey to the Lord, and how hard it is at times when you're that caregiving person, when you want to be there at every moment. I remember the night before my husband died, the Lord told me to go home. And I was like, why am I leaving New Jersey? And all my children were there, and I remember feeling so confused, and I kept checking it out, and thinking, is this me? Can I just not face this? And the Lord was just saying, go home. And it was so right, because, you know, so we know so much now through Kubler-Ross and other kinds of psychology about the death and dying process, and actually it was the thing to do, because sometimes it's easier for them to go into the Lord's arms when the loved one, the person that they think they're going to disappoint, in other words, my husband would have been so afraid of disappointing me because we had fought so long for his life. But anyway, can you just talk a few minutes about that experience?
About the...
when he told you not to.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I guess it was about a year and a half where John was in rehab, and we would go every other week to visit him. And so I went for a year and a half, and then, you know, during that course, you know, we all have, like, nice walls to protect ourselves inside. But the Lord showed me I had none, that they were gone, and that he showed me, like, if you mentioned, before that, if you mentioned John, you know, I would just say, oh, well, he's coming along. But now I was at a point that if you mentioned his name, I would cry. There was no longer anything there to protect me, you know, that I could hold up. And so I went to church, and I told God that, you know, I couldn't go on. I could no longer go on. And he showed me, he said, Bernadette, you're like a big wound. You have like a big, huge wound here. And that it's only covered with like gossamer. And every time you go visit John, you rip off the scab. And then you come back 2 weeks later, it's starting to heal and everything. And then you see John, and it rips it off. And he said, if you did that to a scab and you kept picking the scab, you'd get an infection. And that this is huge, and this is going to kill you if you don't stop seeing him. And so, you know, I said, well, you know, you have to do something for me, Lord, because... or else I don't know what I'm going to do. You have to do something. So it just so happened I was going on a retreat the next day with this great priest. And on this retreat, the Lord showed me that I had to stop seeing John. And this was very difficult, you know, like the mother is going to stop seeing the son. And he showed me, you must stop seeing John. And luckily, this priest, this director, knew me. And I went to him, and I said, what do you think about this? This is like the thought that I'm getting. And he said, you're right, Bernadette. This is right on. You got smashed in this accident, as well as your son. And you have to get restored. So, you know, I had to call my husband and tell him about it, and which was very difficult. And my heart was beating so hard, I had to leave the retreat and go see my doctor.
Oh, geez.
To check my heart, but I was all right. And anyway, by the end of this retreat, I had this amazing peace that, and a just powerful peace about this decision. And I felt like if the whole world stood up and said, you know, Bernadette, you are the worst mother. You're not going to go see your son. And I would say, that's right. I'm not going to see him because I must do this, or else I will never be able to take care of him. I must stop. And, you know, and I did. And my husband, you know, he said, well, how long is it going to take you to get better? I said, I don't know. He called this priest. He said, Bernadette will tell you when she's better. So I went on for 6 months, and I only did good things. Got my hair done, had fun with my friends, went to church, went out to eat. I had fun. And I did not go see John, but other people went with John. My husband wanted to go, so he went. Okay. And
where was he at this time?
He was in. I think
New Jersey.
No, he was in Port, where the three states meet.
Oh,
New Jersey,
Port Jervis.
He was there in a place
in a special facility
for 2 years. Special facility for John. And. Mm-hmm. And I felt right about it. Like I had no guilt whatsoever about doing this. I felt that this was the right, and it was the right thing. So after 6 months, I said to my husband, you know, I want to go see John. I want to go see him. I would, in the course of those 6 months, I would call him on the phone. And he couldn't really talk, but I would sing to him. Mm. You know, I just call to say, I love you. And I would hear his therapist in the background say, tell your mother to come up here and visit you. And I would, but I would right away say, you know, that's her need. That's her need, not my need.
Yeah, that's right.
And I stayed away for 6 months, and then I went up. And usually you'd sit around a table, maybe there'd be 10 people that all evaluate John and give me their opinion, which would be not so good. Not so good, maybe a little good. And before this, whenever they would talk and give me their evaluation, it would be like a knife in my heart, everything they said. But now, whatever they said did not penetrate me at all. And when it was over, the psychiatrist or psychologist said, you know, Mrs. Brandon, you know, I would really, would you mind sharing with me? Because I never called up, I never shared, I never told them anything because I didn't feel like it. I just felt, you know, my husband went up there, that was enough. So I told him the whole story. And when I first started talking to him, he looked normal, looked like a normal person. But then as I kept telling him the story, he got brighter and brighter, where he was like glowing, this man. And he said, I can't believe what you did. He said, it's almost impossible for a mother to do what you did. He said, and not only did you do it, but you did it just right. And he said, would you mind, like, when you come up here, sharing this with other families? And I knew that I really couldn't do that because I couldn't take their pain yet, you know. I said, but you know what? You have the story. I give it to you. You can share it with whoever you want. It's yours. And that was the story, you know. Oh,
beautiful. Wow. Absolutely. Wow. I mean, I wish we could just have another 2 hours of, I know you have so many, but this has been so awesome, and I can't believe the feedback. People are so excited about it.
Share some, Barbara.
One here from Mary Beth says, tell Bernadette how her stories have helped my life in the past and how she has always been one of my most favorite persons.
Aww.
And another person saying, awesome. I wish I was listening sooner to all these things. Love the radio show. I guess she just kind of came upon it today. Bernadette, wow. Like we're getting it. Yeah. So it's great. It's, people are very, very, need to hear these things. We need to hear this stuff, you know, and especially the fact that you were angry at God, you know, that you're not floating around on a cloud somewhere.
Yeah.
You had a struggle, and that's what the journey is. Yeah, it's all about struggling.
We're going to, we always make CD copies of the show, which will be distributed soon. And whoever wants CD hard copies, please reach out to me. We'll gladly get you some, as well as you could tune into our website, which is listen-up.net, and you could listen to all of our past shows are on there. And I just had a question, Bernadette. So your son, I know he was in rehab. Is he still there or what?
So he came home after 3 years. He came home.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a wonderful family. And my girls, I have four daughters and John. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were around to help me. And I was able to take care of him for 12 years, where I had earlier been in a position where I couldn't be in his presence without dying. God, with his love and mercy, healed me so that I was able to take care of John, and John kept getting better and better and better. And I mean, God would do miracles with John. One time, this is an interesting story, it's a short story. John was incontinent. And he had been incontinent for the 3 years he was away. And the nurses, doctors tried to help him with this, but it didn't work. And so he's home. He's in the dining room because his bedroom wasn't ready yet. And he was on a commode. And and he had a golden robe on. And Johnny was there, just John and my husband and I. And I said to my son, can you feel your bladder at all, John? He shook his head, no, because cognitive he was good. And he understood what I would say to him. Yeah. And he said, I said, you know, do you feel anything? No, I don't. So Johnny and I had married to a great man of faith. you know, we said, well, God, you know, we would really like it if you would enable John to feel his bladder so he could control it. We would really like that. And within a week, he had it back.
Oh, wow.
God gave That's it amazing. Back to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continued on with his bowels doing the same thing.
Oh, my God.
And he was completely restored. And it was just like simple prayer.
Yeah,
you know, like
simple.
Like Father, I would say you would give me personally great pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you would enable John to feel his bowels, that would give me great pleasure, Father, if you would do that. And he did.
That's what I always loved about you. You always gave me simple prayer. I was always concerned about, am I saying the right words? Did I get enough in? Did I do it right? And you just would give me the simplest prayers. Like, you know, I remember when my daughter Catherine, I had no idea what was wrong with her. She was like 6 years old. The doctor said she might have to go to the hospital. Her whole eye was swollen, but it turned out to be something very serious. It could have been given her brain damage. And I remember thinking of what you said to me about healing. And I walked up to her and I just said, Lord, I don't know what healing is, but could you please heal her? And she was the talk of the town and the doctor's office for at least a year or so because she was healed. And that the prayers you pray are so incredible. Lord, it would give me great pleasure if you would heal John. I just find that awesome. Have another beautiful text from Danielle. God wants us to, what she's experiencing from all these messages, God wants us to be the best we can be so we can take care of those that we love. Great messages. Thank you so much.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Roberta.
Amen. I got a text as well. Our listener said, that there is a healing mass this Monday at 7:30 p.m. at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Franklin Square. There's rosary and confessions starting at 7 p.m. And if anyone would like, there's individual prayer overs following the mass. So that's this Monday at 7:30 p.m. All are welcome. So yeah.
Do we have a few minutes for Father Peter? Just wanted to give a little a little outline, a little survey of something that was very important to him and to St. Francis Parish this past week.
Sure.
Well, yes, there was quite a gathering over at St. Anthony's Parish about the opioid, overdose, the deaths from overdose on Long Island. Close to 500 overdose deaths have occurred on Long Island, and it's
of young people,
and people of various ages. But it's really an epidemic. There's new kinds of drugs, synthetic heroines, and so forth. So it was a real spirit lifter to see so many people there. And what I wanted to just pick out one little thing. A lot of the high school kids were there too. There were dignitaries there. There were clergy. There were school superintendents. Even the two bishops. Even the police commissioner was there, and so forth. But the kids were there. They presented a thing that calling My High, and it was their attempt to explain to, you know, the young person who might be depressed, might be thinking about using drugs, might have started, or alcohol, whatever, some of the things that really get them excited and happy about life, and so forth. So oftentimes it's their hobbies, it's sports, it's some relationships, it's music or drama or something like that. But I was just thinking that, you know, you look at a person like Bernadette, you realize that the Lord is the ultimate high. Okay, the Lord is the all. When you have the Lord, you don't need these other crutches. No, I'm not talking about the wonderful highs that kids have. I mean, they need the music and the sports, but that can lead them to God too. But I just thought that in a very real way, when you say, you know, we talk about being clothed with power from on high, and then when they get the power from on high, it looked like they were on high. The people were accusing them of being drunk in the middle of the day, you know, because they were so joyful and so filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So I thought it was interesting how the kids were looking around for being able to share something of a high that they would get from natural activities. How much more will the Holy Spirit give to us who really seek Him, and how high we'll be on the Lord if we just go in that route and let Him have His way with us.
You know, that's awesome.
That's so amazing, because I love the play on words as well.
Yeah,
high, God on high, you know, just all these things.
How did we forget about all those natural highs, you know?
That's right.
How did we ever forget that there are such things as music and art? And I know when I'm writing my books, I feel high. I feel like, wow, this is like... So, and the Lord is amazing, because His love for us is so outrageous. And I think that that's something that we have to really think about. during this resurrection time. We have to really understand that he doesn't just want us to know about him, he wants us to know him. And I just wanted to refer everyone as we close here to the book of the letter to the Ephesians by Paul. That is, if you're not reading anything else in Scripture, start reading that, because that just kind of summarizes God's love for us. And it's been my privilege and my kind of compelling need to tell people about how much God loves them. You know, nobody realizes that he loves us uniquely, not just generically like he loves everyone. He loves you for every part of your personality, for your character, for the things that you're not able to do that you're trying to do, for the things that you are doing. That unique love really comes through in the first three chapters of the Ephesians. And Paul wrote that book, by the way, while he was in prison. He wrote that under duress. He was actually in prison for 2 years in Rome. And he wrote that letter to the Ephesians. The Ephesians weren't a terribly difficult church, but they had issues. And he was always trying to kind of tweak things and tee them up and get things on the road again. But they actually ended up circulating that letter all over, because that letter really says in the first three chapters how the Lord loves us. And if you're in love with the Lord now, I guarantee if you read those chapters of Ephesians, you'll be madly in love with him when you're finished. And it talks about who we are in Christ. And that's something that we have to know before we can ever change behavior. We have to know who we are in Christ. And that's all there in Ephesians. And then, of course, the last three chapters are talking to us about our behavior. But we can't change behavior until we know who we are in Christ. What is our DNA? We have resurrection in our DNA. We have the royal blood flowing through us. We are children of the King. So I just wanted to wrap up these stories and these incredible experiences of resurrection power by referring you to the letter of the Ephesians.
Thank you, Barbara. And I just want to end really quickly as well. Today is St. Catherine of Siena Day, and the church honors her. And
and that's your parish. In
yeah, and my name too. But be all that God has called you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. So I just, with that, I want to say thank you so much to all the guests today. Thank you, Bernadette, and God bless you, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This is your station, Long Island.
Yes.
Catholic station.
Keep listening. Yep.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.